Turn, please, to John in chapter 10. I want to read, beginning with verse 1, and I want to read through verse 33. Now, that's a lot of verses. It takes 3 minutes. You can handle it, all right? And as you find that, please pray with me. Father in heaven, now as we open this, which is the very word of God, we pray that you would help us take away any resistance that we might have. May we hear in it your very voice, Lord Jesus, and may we, in response, follow you and you alone. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, which was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Now, I want, as we begin here, since this was a very long reading and somewhat difficult probably to hang on to every point, I want to take a minute and outline these verses for us to see what's here. Because, you see, we have to come to grips with the fact that these were real words spoken by a real person to real persons. And I say that because sometimes we read the Bible, we sort of read it as a sacred book. And it is, but it's also a book communicating real information to us, real words spoken by a real person to real persons who had real reactions to those real words that were spoken. And we need to have those real reactions as well. We need to really see what's here. You see, John wasn't just a philosopher who was writing trying to sound deep or spiritual. He was writing that which he had heard and that which he had seen. And so it's important for us to get back there, to get there, realizing what is taking place here. This isn't just a spiritual, ooky-spooky, mystical kind of a thing. this actually happened in history. And for us to grab a hold of this, it's important for us to put ourselves there and to come to grips with what was really being said. Because you see, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, if you looked at him, he looked just like everybody else who was standing around there, stood up and made some outlandish claims, really, about himself. You see, he used a metaphor, a very common metaphor of the day, and even in our own day we use this kind of a metaphor of sheep and shepherds and so forth and so on, to describe leading and describe followers. And so he talks about sheep, he talks about shepherds, and he talks about the fact that for the shepherd to care for the sheep at night, he would take the sheep and put them in the sheep pen. And the sheep pen was simply a little enclosure, four walls, a hole for a door, generally no roof. And he would put the sheep in there to protect them, to keep them protected at night. And not only that, oftentimes shepherds would share a sheep pen so that more than one group of sheep, more than one shepherd's sheep, would be in a particular pen. Now in the morning when they would divide up the sheep, all they would do is each shepherd would simply call their own sheep. And because a true shepherd had a relationship with his sheep, and the sheep with the shepherd, they knew his voice, and he knew them, then his sheep would come to him, and the sheep of another shepherd would go there. They didn't have to brand them. They just simply had to call them, you see. And so Jesus is using that kind of a situation to describe something, to share with them something about his identity, who he is. And first then, he says that he is the gate or the door to the sheep pen. The door to the sheep pen was obviously a very important thing, because that would be the place where, if a robber was going to get in, he'd probably try first. But Jesus said, since I'm the gate, since I'm the door, any thief or robber would have to come in over the top. In fact, that's how you can tell that a person isn't really a true shepherd, doesn't really have, in Jesus' sense, the true message. Because they'll be in, but they will not have gone through the gate. So Jesus is saying, listen, in order to even get in and be allowed in and be credible in, you've got to go through the door, and I'm the door. That's a very strange thing to say. I'm the door. I'm the door to the sheep pen. And not only that, he says, my sheep know my voice, so that when I call to them, they listen and they hear. Now, what the Pharisees didn't get, they never really got it. They never got who Jesus really was, most of them. And Jesus was really telling this story, if you will, on them. Because he's saying basically to them, you are the thieves and the robbers. You haven't come in through me. You don't believe in me. You don't trust me. You're going in over the top to try to get my sheep. It's not going to work. But that's what you're trying to do. You're giving them a false message because you haven't gone through me. You haven't gone through the real door. And not only that, if you look in verse 8, he says, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Notice what this man Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, if you want to be saved from death and thus have life, the only way is to come through me. I'm the door into being saved and being safe, and I'm the door through which there is life. Unless you come through me, you cannot be saved from death. Because you see, what we need saved from in death is the judgment that follows. We'll get to that in a moment. But Jesus said, if you want to be rescued from death, and thus be given life, and life to the full, the fullest, richest life anyone could ever imagine, you've got to come through me. Again, a very strange thing for a person to be saying to other persons. And then he goes on in verse 11, and he says, I'm going to carry this metaphor, just twist it a little bit more. I'm going to carry it off some more. Not only am I the gate, but I'm also the good shepherd. You see, I'm the good shepherd. And I'll prove that I'm the good shepherd. Because in comparison with just a hireling, that is, just someone who's hired to take care of the sheep, the difference between me and that hireling is that I actually will lay down my life for my sheep. See, sheep were always in danger because they were defenseless. Sheep are defenseless creatures, utterly dependent, defenseless creatures. That's why we have so many sheep and lambs at petting zoos, because they can't hurt children. They don't have good teeth. They can't even bite well, you know. They don't have claws. They're just sheep. And so we put them and we let children touch them, and it appears the sheep even enjoy that. And so they're defenseless. And so there are many enemies. And the wolf would come to try to eat and capture and kill the sheep, you see. And a good shepherd would fight that wolf off. But a hireling wouldn't. Because anybody who's hired to do a job has this comparison always going on in their head. They see how much money they're earning, and they see the sacrifice of the job. So far, so long as the sacrifice of the job is less than the money they're getting, they'll do the job because it's profitable for them. But as soon as the sacrifice gets more than the money they're making, they don't do that anymore, and they quit. And so when the hireling says, I'm going to have to die to protect these sheep, and they look at how much they're earning, they say, it's not worth it. And so they run off. But the owner of the sheep, the lover of the sheep, says, there's no sacrifice too great. I'll give my life for my sheep. Now, if you're a sheep, that's good news and bad news. Good news is your shepherd's really committed to you. The bad news is once your shepherd's dead, you're in trouble. Unless your shepherd's Jesus. Because you see, the only way to kill the wolf that's after us, judgment, is to pay that. And the only way it can be paid is by the death of one who is like us, our representative. And so when Jesus said, I'm going to die for my sheep, we know what he meant was that that's the ultimate protection. That's the ultimate defeat of the enemy. But not only did he die, as he said here, but also he raised back up. Because he said, I'm doing this voluntarily. I'm doing this out of love. No one's taking my life. I'm giving it. I'm the aggressor here. Looks like I'm not, but I'm the aggressor here. I'm giving my life to be killed. That's how I'm fighting, and that's how I'll win. And then I'm going to take my life back up again so that I can live to protect you. So I can live to be your shepherd. So I can live to make sure that you're always safe. Now, Jesus is saying, that's who I am. And he said, now you have to understand that as the good shepherd, I've got sheep out there. And sheep know my voice. All I have to do is call them. And when I call them, they come to me. They won't listen to you. They'll be afraid of you. They'll run from you because you're not the good shepherd. But they'll come to me. In fact, I've got sheep all over the place. I've got sheep, he says in verse 16, that aren't of this sheep pen. That is, they don't live in Jerusalem. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles too. And they're not just from right now, but they're from before and they're from later. They're from all throughout history. And so I've got sheep from all kinds. And all I have to do is call them. And they come. And so you see the response of the people. Notice in verse 19, it says, at these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? I mean, this sounds crazy. This person is saying that in order to have life, you've got to come through him. This person is saying that he's got sheep all over the place. He just calls them and they come. And he's going to lay his life down and he's going to take it back up again. So this guy's a lunatic, some of them said. But notice in verse 21, others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You see, they realized that Jesus had just, in chapter 9, taken this man who was blind from birth, and given him new eyes to see. And they said, maybe we ought to listen to a person like that. If a person can give sight to the blind, maybe, just maybe, he actually is the secret to all of life. Maybe, just maybe, he is the door into life. Maybe, just maybe, he is the good shepherd who will lay down his life, defeat the ultimate enemy of sin and death and judgment. Maybe that's who he is. Well, this conversation was such a significant one, trying to find out the identity of Jesus. They went on even for a couple of months as we come to verse 22, because we have a new setting. It was the Feast of Dedications, which was kind of what we would now call Hanukkah. It wasn't an Old Testament festival per se, because it didn't take place until after the Old Testament was written. But they were probably celebrating that great Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah we call it. And so in verse 24, it says, "The Jews gathered around Jesus saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you didn't believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep.'" He says, listen, if you'd only been able to hear, if you'd only been able to listen, I've been telling you all along. Because you see, they should have known Isaiah chapter 35. Because in Isaiah chapter 35, it says, when the Messiah comes, here's some things that will happen. The blind will receive their sight. The deaf will hear. The lame will leap for joy. The mute will shout praises unto God. And Jesus said, haven't you been paying attention? If Jesus would have just showed up on the scene and said, "Hi, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ," and did nothing, they would say, "Prove it." So rather than doing that, he came and proved it. And they still didn't buy it. He says, "I've been telling you all along, but you're not believing." Now I want to draw your attention to verse 26 for a minute, without saying very much about it, except allowing this sentence to humble us all. Verse 26, Jesus says, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." He doesn't say, "You're not my sheep because you do not believe." He says, in order for you to believe, you must first be made a sheep. And so we can get down on the Pharisees all we want for missing the point, for missing the obvious. But he says, listen, sin blinds us all so that we can't even see the obvious in Christ Jesus. The reason that they don't believe is they can't hear my voice because they're not sheep. Believing doesn't make us sheep. Being a sheep enables us to believe. In the mystery of God's work in our lives, we look deep down within and realize he starts it. He does it. And it humbles us all. We can't just pass by a sentence like that because it humbles us before God. It's the same kind of sentence like we talked about very briefly last week in chapter 6 and verse 44. When Jesus says, "No one can come unless the Father who sent me draws him." He says, you can't come on your own. You first got to be drawn by the Father before you can even come, before you can even believe. In verse 65 of chapter 6, it says, Jesus said, he went on to say, "That is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." Our sin causes us to be unable to come to the Father. It causes us to be not sheep. Only by a work of God's Spirit, first, can we become sheep and then believe. Notice in chapter 8 and verse 47, Jesus says again, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Belonging is before hearing. Belonging is before coming. Being is before believing. I just throw that to you to knock your socks off and to humble you, if you're a believer, to realize you were a sheep first and you couldn't have been a believer without him first making you a sheep. And so rejoice in that. All right? Now, Jesus says to them, "I give them eternal life. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them." This is verse 28. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than them all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now it finally, you see, dawns on them. It finally dawns on them what Jesus is really claiming, what he's really saying. He's really claiming to be the shepherd of the sheep. Every good Jew would know who the shepherd is. It's God Himself is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In fact, there were shepherds all throughout ancient Israel. We call them under-shepherds. Elders of Israel were the shepherds of the people. Kings, David, was called the great shepherd of Israel because he was the king. So kings were always called shepherds. Well, if you look quickly in Ezekiel in chapter 34, you find that God was really ticked at the shepherds of Israel. And He basically fired them all. And He said, I'm going to be the shepherd. You're not doing your job. As I look around Israel, the sheep are scattered here, there, and everywhere. They're broken down. They're hurt. They're in misery. And you are doing nothing about it because all you care about is yourself. So in verse 11 of chapter 34, God says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looked after his scattered flock when he is with him, so will I look after my sheep. In verse 23, he says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, David was dead. So he wasn't talking about David. He was talking about someone like David. And they'd expected someone like David ever since David to sit on the throne of David. He says, well, I'll place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. I'm that shepherd. I'm that one. And the only way for safety, the only way to be saved, the only way to have life, the only way in is through me. And listen, once you're there, when you're in my hand, you're utterly safe. Nobody, nothing, no circumstance, no person, nothing can snatch you out. In fact, when you're in my hand, you're in the Father's hand. You're in God's hand. Why? Because it's the same hand. And they said, wait a minute. You think you're God. Yeah. That's who he thinks he is. And see, when Jesus was claiming to be the shepherd, he was claiming to be one who would be everything for us. Turn quickly to the great shepherd psalm that we only quote and rarely think about. So let's think about it for a minute in Psalm number 23. Because it's here where David, who is the shepherd of Israel and who had been a shepherd of real sheep, is now writing about being a sheep. He's writing about a shepherd from the perspective, not of the shepherd, but from the perspective of a sheep. That's very important. Because you see, we're compared in Scripture, and Jesus is comparing us in John chapter 10, and David's comparing us in Psalm 23 to sheep. And sheep, you see, are defenseless, as I said. They are completely made to be dependent animals. They can't be independent, but they have an independent spirit. And so they wander off. So long as they're in the care of the shepherd, they'll be protected and well cared for. But when they wander off, they leave themselves vulnerable because they're in a position they sure never created for, to be independent, and there they are, and they're prey then to every enemy and every stupid decision they can possibly make. And God compares us to sheep. I don't know that's complimentary. In fact, I've yet to find a football team or an athletic team called the sheep. You know what I mean? Somehow it's just not the most courageous of animals. But we're similar, you see. We're never meant to be independent of the shepherd. We're always meant to be dependent on the shepherd. But yet, we had a spirit of wandering and rebellion, and we wandered away. And Jesus comes to tell us that we're outside the sheep pen. We're outside of his care as the good shepherd. We're vulnerable to every enemy that could come our way. We're vulnerable physically, ultimately. That one will beat us all. It will die physically. But we're also vulnerable, as I've said, to the spiritual enemy of death because of sin in our lives and the judgment that is to come. That one will naturally get us as well in and of ourselves. Only with the good shepherd defeating that enemy can we be safe. And so David begins to think about what it would be like to be a sheep. And as a sheep, you know, I suppose the first thing a sheep, if a sheep could think, the first thing a sheep would do when it got up in the morning is try to locate the shepherd. Because a smart sheep would know that without the shepherd, that is going to be a very bad day. Right? You're vulnerable to everything. So if you can't locate the shepherd, you're in big trouble. So the first thing that a smart sheep would do is look out for the shepherd there. And then you see the sheep would realize that through the course of the day, there'll be weariness that settles in because sheep move from one pasture to another. And in the weariness of all of that moving, you'll realize that he'll need to depend upon the shepherd to take him to good pastures and to where there's good water in order to drink so he'll be fed and rest. And then you see the sheep will realize that being a sheep, that there's going to be all kinds of potential wanderings that could take place. And so he may get off the track from time to time, but if the shepherd's with him, he'll know that the shepherd will restore him and bring him back on the path. And he knows that there's going to be all kinds of choices to make, all kinds of paths to go, and left up to him, he'll choose the wrong path, but the shepherd will take him up the right path, because that's the right path to go to the right pasture. It might be tough. It might be hard. In fact, David uses an interesting word in that little phrase where he will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's different than leading to still waters. That little Hebrew word, leading to still waters, means he'll carry me there and lay me before the waters. Leading me in paths of righteousness means he may use a prod to get me there. Because I might not want to go down the right path because I'm a wanderer, as Dion would say. And so I don't want to go that path. So it might be tough for God to move me along. And then you see, I realize that sometimes I'm not going on this path up the hill, but I'm going down in the valley, and down in the valley where it's really, 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 really dark. I can't see anything, but I can hear the wolves howling, and I can hear the snakes hissing, and I know that if I get caught by either, I'll be dead. But somehow I can be comforted by the fact I know that my shepherd has a rod, and on the end of the rod is a real hard ball lump, and I know he's really good at that. And he can throw it, and he can hit wolves, and he can knock them out. And I know he has a staff that when I trip and when I fall, he picks me up by the hook of it and gets me back on the thing. That's my courage and my comfort. And then at the end of the day, I know, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be beaten up, I'm going to be sore, I'm going to be stiff, I'm going to have scratches, but I know my shepherd will take his hands filled with oil and he'll rub down my coat and it'll feel so wonderful. And then he'll put a great feast before me and I'll eat. And I'd be worried if I thought that this was only going to happen today, but I'd be convinced because my shepherd's so faithful that he'll do this all the days of my life and I'll always be with him. And therefore, I'll have a nice life. Now, that's what it looks like from a sheep. And so David tells us something, and Jesus claims this to be true about himself. He says, listen, if I'm your shepherd, you will lack for absolutely nothing. When you wake up in the morning, if you're my sheep, Jesus is saying, this is an amazing statement. He says, if you're my sheep, you can live that day with faith, believing that you'll lack for nothing. Because I'm the good shepherd. I'm God. And as your shepherd, I love you. And I'll do what's best for you. And whatever you need, when you need it, I'll bring it to you. All the means may vary. It may be through a promise of Scripture. It may be the visit of a friend. It may be courage from within. Maybe all kinds of things that may come. But start out your day living in faith because you don't want for anything. Be content. And not only that, he says, listen, I'll take you wherever you need to go. Whatever pastures you need to be on, I'll take you there. Whatever waters you need to drink, I'll lead you there. When you get off the course, when you stray from me, I won't forget about you. I won't leave you alone, but I'll come and I'll restore you by forgiveness and encouragement. I'll restore you back onto the path right with me. And there are paths, and they're tough paths, and they're hard paths, because they're paths of righteousness. You won't want to go the right way all the time. These are paths of righteousness, and they're difficult, and there are all kinds of things that will come against you. There are temptations, and there are desires in your heart which are wrong, that would lead you down wrong paths, not right paths. But yet, I will make sure, by all the means that I have as the good shepherd, to get you on the right path and keep you there. So trust me, and there'll be times when you're going down and it's so dark you can't see me, you don't know that I'm with you, you can't tell that, all you can hear are the sounds of your enemies, The devil howling and the world coming against you and even your flesh betraying you and coming against you to try to lure you into things. And there might be tragedies and there might be difficulties that you're going through, and it might even be to the very brink and the very point of death. And you can't see me. Trust me. Take comfort in the fact that I'm still with you and that I can slay every dragon that comes your way, and I can slay every enemy that comes by you. And even if you die, trust me. For I've slain the great dragon of death and sin and judgment. And not only that, he says, as the good shepherd, here's who I am for you and with you and by you. At the end of the day, I know you'll be weary, but from time to time, when you need it, I'll take my hands with oil and I'll rub you down, and it'll feel really good. There'll be days of refreshment. And when I set a table for you, it's in the presence of enemies which have been defeated, and you can eat there and eat there till you're full, and you can bank on this, that will be consistent, because throughout the whole course of your life, goodness and mercy will hound you, will follow after you, be right on your tail, never leave you alone, always be right there, because no one can snatch you out of my hand, because you'll dwell in my house forever. That's what it's like, you see. And so Jesus is saying, listen, when you have a difficult day going down the wrong path or all the decisions before you, you may have a difficult month, you may have a difficult year, you may have a difficult decade. He says, trust me, though, at the end of the day, I'll get you there. You might have a dark day. You might have a dark month. You might have a dark decade. You may have a dark time for a long time where fear is all around. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Trust me, I'll get you there. At the end of the day, you'll know that you've been and will be in my Father's house forever. Trust me. That's an outlandish thing for a person to say about himself. Jesus says, that's who I am. So you see, the question is, do we hear that? Are we sheep? Do we hear that message? When Jesus says that, do we hear it? When he says, hear my voice, this is not some mystical, ooky, spooky thing that, you know, you hear this audible voice, or some down deep inside your guts you get, you know, nauseous. It's not that at all. Jesus says, when you hear my voice, when you hear it coming from the scripture, do you recognize this as what you need? Do you know you're a sheep? Do you know that you've wandered? Do you know that you're in danger of judgment? And do you know that without coming through me and being led by me, you're in eternal trouble? But do you also know that I've laid down my life for you, which means I've defeated that enemy? If you're mine and you trust in me, then you're in. And you'll always be in. And nothing and no one can snatch you out of my hand. Do you hear that? And do you know that? And he says, now. You say, well, yeah, I hear it. It makes sense to me. How do I really know that I'm a sheep? And Jesus said, well, then follow me. It isn't just a today thing. It isn't just a this moment thing. It isn't just, oh, that makes sense. I'll pray that prayer. I'm in. No, he says, follow me. If you want to be in my hand, be in my hand. Stay there. Follow me. I'll keep you. Follow me. How do we follow him? Well, we stop following everything else. Luke says, records Jesus saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That all of those little phrases, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, all mean the same thing. He says, when you deny yourself, that is, deny your own agenda to yourself. Deny your own way to yourself. Deny your own confidence to yourself. Deny your own self-sufficiency to yourself. Realize you're a sheep and you're in trouble and you're not independent, but dependent. Take up your cross. When Jesus said that, he says, something's got to die, because that's what a cross meant. Something's got to die. What's got to die? My independence. To stop following me and start following him. And then he made it clear. He just said, follow me. In your decision, seek me. For strength, seek me. For the right path, seek me. For protection, seek me. For forgiveness, seek me. Follow me all the days of your life. Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd. Was he? Should we follow him? Is he a nut? Now, the proof that he said he would leave us is that he would die and he would take his life back up again. He died to defeat the enemy. He did it, the cross. He rose again so he could be our perpetual and everlasting shepherd. Trust him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the good shepherd. We need the shepherd. Thank you for defeating our great foe, sin, death. Thank you for rising again and even now interceding on our behalf, our good shepherd, ruling and reigning over everything. For your glory and our blessing. I pray that we hear your voice as you call to us and we follow you all the days of our lives so that we may dwell in that sheep pen in the house of the Lord forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.